Welcome to Marooned at Macabites headquarters, day 65. More importantly, my birthday. Oh, Mike, can I have a jingle for my birthday?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Elaine. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Brooklyn jingle. I just hijacked it.
Right, so mine wasn't good enough.
Oh, no. I have to have more. More.
Right. On that note, I'm going.
Was it something we said, Mike?
No, I have a prior appointment.
Really?
Yeah.
What he means is Lola's barking, wants the toilets.
Yeah. And then I've got to go and see
a man about a dog.
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to get into the chat now. Whee! I'm in the chat. I have got so much catching up to do on Slack.
The Catinians are boring.
That's pretty much a given. See you shortly, Mike. Hello, Kim. Hello, Jonathan. Hello, Paul. Let me see if I've missed anyone. Don't think I have. Excellent. Right. Kim's just finished making dinner. We had my favourite. It was gluten-free pasta with Mike's special lamb in sauce. Ooh, it was nice. I would have taken a photograph, but I was far too busy taking photographs of the cake. Right, I'm catching up. Good morning, hello. Roasted chicken, root vegetables, kale and tomatoes. That sounds nice, like chicken. A steak and a jacket potato. Can't eat the potato, Jonathan, but the steak's lovely. Catching up. Yes, I have arrived. I am in the house. It's been a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day. So Kim says she hears AZ is on the way to a vaccine. Yeah, it's interesting that, Kim. They've got the contract to provide 30 million doses of said vaccine. Vaccine doesn't exist yet. They're still working on it. But assuming that they do have a success, then yes, they've got the contract. We were actually just talking about that in terms of the unemployment figures have been released for the UK today, and they normally handle 60 claims a week, and this particular office was handling 100 times that. So I think there's jobs at the unemployment centre for people, but that's about it. But they were saying they were getting all kinds of people, stockbrokers. Stockbroker came in. He'd had a great job, really well paid. His wife had a good job. And he's now a night porter at a hotel. And it's kind of unbelievable, isn't it? After only a few weeks. But CQ, Deb, CQ, how are you feeling? Let us know. Good monkey news for immunity after injection. Okay, so it worked for the monkeys. They probably will come up with some kind of vaccination. Problem then is, do you have it or not? It's bound to be contraindicated for some people, and you do wonder, don't you? That's fantastic, Deb. I'm glad to hear it. Hello, Paul. I have got so much catching up to do in Slack, but what can I say? I woke up eventually. I've taken to working really late at night. It's so peaceful. I enjoyed the peace so much during the first stage of lockdown that I get annoyed now if people make a noise. So I'm just working later and enjoying it. I've seen the sunrise a couple of times. It's actually quite nice, isn't it? I'm not usually up that early, but actually I'm not. I'm going to bed. So, yeah. When I finally did venture up, I got all these cards that people had actually dropped off. So Mike had cleaned them all for me, so they were on my desk. So I've got all these cards on my desk. I have a lovely custom card from the lovely Jonathan. Thank you, Jonathan. Does Mike really make that much noise in the house? Jonathan, you'd be amazed. He has taken in the last week or so to training in our studio. It's my office, you see, and although he used to work here, he always used to go to work 5 days a week, and that was the case probably until 2015. it was the exception before 2015 for him to be here. And that exception would be if he needed decent internet or he needed the ability to record an iPad screen. He cannot do that at work, or he couldn't back then. You could possibly plug it in now, but their networks are so locked down in terms of just ripping out the functionality that's actually useful, especially to the training team, that if he had to record an iPad screen, he had no option but to be here. So it was very unusual for him to be here, even in early 2015, because early 2015, Mum died just before Christmas in 2014, but we couldn't bury her. She died on the 23rd of December. We couldn't actually bury her until the 20th of January. And those 3 weeks when I was on my own, Mike wasn't able to work from home any particular day, and that would actually have been nice, you know, to have some company. But since then, it's become like, I'll work home one day a week, I'll work home 2 days a week. And he was pretty much at 3 days a week virtually all the time when this happened, sometimes 4 days a week. He would get it to the point he could go in or only have to go in 1 day a week. So what he'd do is he runs what's called a drop-in clinic, and that's on a Thursday. So he advertises it, and if people have got problems, they can bring their laptop down and actually drop into a technology clinic. So he was doing that face to face. And then if he could arrange all the one-to-one meetings for the same day, he'd only have to go in for 1 day. Obviously, since this happened, the drop-in clinics are happening online. But considering, unless I'm actually recording, so if I'm recording a video or I'm actually live training, it's totally silent in here, even with Lola, believe it or not. But with Mike, he sat here, and if he's training, he can't help it. He shouts. There's no need to, but he does. His voice is like twice as loud as it needs to be. And the other thing is, even if he's not training, he's pinged all day, every day, aren't you, Mike?
Yeah.
We're discussing it. Are you noisy?
No.
No, you see, he doesn't think he is noisy.
You think I am.
I know he is. Just saying. So he's taken to going into the studio, haven't you?
Yes.
Give me some peace and quiet. But the studio needs revamping. But we're having a staycation, aren't we? You've been pre-warned. Now, this has happened before. You know this, haven't you? We need to warn the entire planet that we have some... Well, I don't, but Mike does. Mike has some leave coming up. It's all a fiasco. We shouldn't be having a holiday now. We should have had it at Easter. But they needed him for the vaccine. Anyway, we've got to take this holiday before the end of June. So we need to warn you. We have another laughable holiday coming up. I have no idea what will befall the planet this time. But literally every time we have a holiday, there is a calamity, isn't there, Mike?
There is.
There was the holiday Dad died. There was the holiday Mum died.
It's holiday my father died.
There was the holiday your dad died.
It's the holiday he got diagnosed with cancer.
Yep. Oh, yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, we decided we were redoing the entire office. And my mum was involved in it because she was fantastic at design stuff. So we had it all planned. We had all of the equipment here. We had carpenters coming in. We had wood. We had cabling. We had wallpaper to go on. And it was all planned. And it was going to fit into this 8-day block, starting on Good Friday. My dad had been away. He was as fit as a fiddle. He'd been away. He came home after a month away and said he wasn't very well, that he had a cold or flu or something. And we were like, you know, he looks fine. What's the matter with him? And he went to the doctor because he wanted something for the flu. Doctor decided he was giving him a complete refit, you know, a complete plethora of tests. So dad was like, I think he was okay as long as all he wanted was the doctor to say to Mum, don't have him doing anything, he needs a rest. That was the only reason he went. So when they called him in, absolutely, you know, what's that thing? Your pants on fire. You basically get to the hospital ASAP. It was Maundy Thursday. It was the day before our holiday, our other laughable holiday. And when they came back, Mum came in and she just flopped on the sofa, burst out crying and said, he's got terminal cancer. And I'm like, oh my God, the holiday. Here we go again. So you've been warned. Everybody on the entire planet has been warned. Mike, he's off next week. So if you have a bunker, I suggest you move there for the week. Just saying.
I'm just looking at the chat.
Catching up with the chat now.
Where Jonathan and Paul have said that they've been told they're loud on calls. And it reminds me of about 5 years ago. Well, obviously right now working from home. But normally when I deign to
grace them
with my presence and actually go in, we've got a huge, huge, huge open plan office. I mean, that's a recipe
spawn of the devil
for disaster right now.
I'll tell you what, open plan office is so yesterday, darling.
But 5 years ago, when I worked on the other AstraZeneca site for the same team, we had our own little building. It was like an outbuilding. And me and this girl shared an office. And then I didn't share an office with her. Somebody else shared an office with her. And this other person who shared an office with her was very loud on the phone. So much so that this girl said, I can't work in here when she's on the phone.
I don't think I probably do actually speak louder when I'm training. But that's only because Mike and I, years ago, would work quite late, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
And Mum and Dad, my office would have been next to Mum and Dad's bedroom. A bit like the lift, Jonathan. So I was very mindful of not disturbing them. So when Mike and I spoke, we'd whisper the whole of the time. And it was probably about 4 or 5 months after Mum had died. And I said to Mike, why are we still whispering when we speak? And Mike went, I'd not noticed that. So there is a big difference between a normal speaking voice and our whispering, but also a training voice. When I do the audio spawn of the devil as well. Oh, Jonathan, I've got a funny story for you. The level basically of a podcast has to be a certain level. And if you heard the original episodes of MacBytes, the level was far too low. Since then, obviously, I didn't know anything about audio at the beginning. It was like I'd used a reel-to-reel tape deck, and if it was more than that. But we got to the fact that we now know what level the audio needs to be. Even as I'm speaking to you now, if I didn't process the audio afterwards, it would probably be too low. But obviously, you've got to balance the fact, yes, I could boost the microphone, and then I could speak quieter, but then you'd be hearing the chicken and the lawnmowers and the expletives coming from the window cleaners. It is a black art, but it's the number of calls that Mike has in a day. And you know the kind of calls you have with people that you're friendly with at work, where there's a bit of banter? Yeah, that. So I must admit, I'm not fond of him making those kind of calls. So he's been working in the studio to give me some peace. But today obviously has been completely chaotic. We had a... Now, Jonathan, your card actually arrived and I was good. I didn't open it. Let me get the envelope. Where did I put the envelope? Oh, no, there it is. The envelope it arrived in, Jonathan, had the name and address on the front, and it came from Guernsey, and it said on it, don't open until it's your birthday. So I did, I left it, and I said, oh, ooh, 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 but I left it. I was so good. But on the back, it's embossed, and it says Moon Pig. So I did, I left it there. So yours was the first one that I opened. And I've got some pictures that I'll put in for after hours on Friday. But I'm loving it. Love that, Jonathan. Then I got a few more. Nina dropped off a parcel. She put some cheese and biscuits in it, gluten-free cheese and biscuits. And a lovely pair of earrings. So that was that one. Who else was the others? Let me think. Pam and Jed dropped one off, some of our Catanian friends. And there's a card from Nina and Mike as well. Then later on, one arrived from the priest. Absolutely hysterical. Funny card. Loving it. And then Mike knew, but I didn't, that our friends from, if you've been with us during the music shows, you'll know Kath, Carolyn and Joe. Joe's always asleep. Kath goes up to bed and she's not allowed to make noises to wake him up. And we always it gets to midnight and she heads to bed, and that's when we start. We start playing stuff that she's laughing at. So she does have to vacate the marital bed. It's comical. Anyway, Kaz is an instructor in the arts. So she teaches kids at a local stage school to sing and dance. And that's how come she gets the most amazing tickets for the local theatre. The big one in Manchester, the Palace. Not near you, Jonathan. So we've been to see three shows with her stage school. And her kids, the ones that she teaches, are on the stage. They're the ones doing, if there are children in it, and I think everyone we've been to, there's been kids in it. We did We Will Rock You, which is the Queen one. If you've never seen that, see it. It's fantastic. We did, the one that's never to be forgotten, Les Mis. Let's not remember that one at all. That didn't end well. And Miss Saigon, and her kids are in there. Anyway, while she's off, she's on furlough because obviously no children allowed in. So while she's on furlough, she's been baking, and she's been baking the most amazing looking cakes. But obviously the problem is I couldn't eat them because they're not gluten free. Anyway, unbeknownst to me, she'd been plotting and planning with Mike. And they pitched up today about 5 o'clock after Kath had finished work, because Kath's carrying on working. She's also a teacher, but she's teaching her adult students remotely. So they pitched up at 5 o'clock when she'd finished with a card and a cake. Carolyn's baked her first gluten-free cake and I have custody on it. Of it. What was fantastic was they put the cake on the floor in front of the door and they put the card with it, then rang the doorbell and then legged it to the end of the path. So Mike said, go on, you answer it. I open the door and there's this cake and there's Kath, Carolyn and Joe at the end of the path. So we're waving and having a conversation, and then they'd never actually got to meet Lola. So Lola's desperate to get outside to meet them. So I puts a lead on her. Her lead is handily 2 metres long. She was off like a bullet out of a gun. So she dives straight out the front door, past the cake, comes to a screeching halt at about 5 foot and turns round to come back to take the cake. And they were like, ah! I said, she won't touch it. And she didn't. She didn't. She had a sniff and then she headed over to them. So I've got a couple of pictures of that as well. So I have a huge gluten-free cake. Mike also got me a lemon drizzle cake, which was partaken of at lunchtime. So if I sound as high as a kite, that's why. It's basically nothing but my favourite pasta and cake all day. Oh, so it's been brilliant. It's been brilliant. Right, so let me catch up here. So Paul's loud on a conference call too. I think it's because have you ever thought it could be that you're thinking that when people are on a conference call, they suddenly lose brain cells and you feel the need to speak louder? And in my case, slower, so they understand me. Just a thought. Oh, Kim, that is a fabulous idea. She's downloaded a natural disaster app for the phone and will monitor when the vacation starts. Mike's finishing 5 o'clock on Friday, Kim. You might just want to put that in there. We've decided with the holiday, laughable holiday. Well, at least nothing can go wrong in terms of where we go. Oh, that's a start. But we've decided we'll do kind of half of a busman's holiday and do some tech things for us and some housey stuff. Like today when I discovered that the hot tap's got a leak. I only discovered it because I was cleaning. No good ever comes of cleaning. I was cleaning around the taps and I thought, what's that dripping sound? And what it was, the water that I was using to clean the tap was dripping through where the tap was sat and coming out underneath. So I think what my father would have said was, it'll be all right, I'll put some slonk on it. Slonk being the ubiquitous term for, well, in his case, anything that would stop a leak. I think it needs a washer underneath it. But I'm going to leave it alone. I don't want to make it any worse. So I've said to Mike, don't clean the bathroom, I'll do it. Now he thinks it is Christmas. But I'm thinking that is a really good idea, the natural disaster app. Absolutely, might have to do that. Speaking of the lift, we had a lift man attend this afternoon. No noise since. He's killed it. Is the lift working, though? Has he killed the noise or has he killed the lift? Excellent. Glad you can get some sleep. Having said that, Saturday would have been a better day. Give me a fighting chance for Friday. Just saying.
Moonpig. They've stopped doing the square photo one.
Oh, I've never sent a Moonpig. I did send one. Can't remember who the company was. But I also had two digital ones. That was comical. I was sitting working quite happily this morning at 4 minutes past two. And two cards pinged in. And I thought, oh, they've sent me two notifications of the card. But no, it was two separate cards, two people who'd used Jackie Lawson. I have such happy memories of Jackie Lawson. Many, many years ago, they used Flash to create their cards. And they always had dogs in them. One of them was their dog. That dog must have passed away many years ago. But they still have dog ones in. And there's like dog ones where the butterfly lands on the dog's nose and stuff. So I got two of those as well. Yes, it was gluten-free lemon drizzle. I think Mike must have got it from Asda, would be my guess. Seeing as though he's completely off Tesco at the minute. Can't get a slot. He's not a happy bunny with Tesco. Morrison's are still doing fine and dandy, though. And Asda are looking after him. But I think he wanted to get me a gluten-free carrot cake, which is my absolute favourite. But they only sell them at Tesco, and he couldn't get a slot. He did contemplate going out to Tesco for it, but he would have got a slapped wrist for that. So, yeah, you moved to an office in a warehouse after a three-hour conference call on assignment when you're a contractor. Moved to an office in a warehouse. I bet you get a lot of echo in there. Mike's gone in the other room. The other room, I would say, has less echo than in here. But this was what I was saying about optimising the microphone. And I also, I like have a go at Mike for being too far away from the microphone or not close enough. You basically need to be four fingers apart from your microphone if the microphone is configured correctly. But I remember when we started, we had a really good microphone and we could not fathom why the sound quality wasn't as good as we felt it should be. We got it better over time, but it was very much trial and error. No one was actually putting out like the definitive tip sheet for getting the best quality out of any microphone. And then I got really fed up of it and I thought, this is ludicrous. You know, you see musicians with microphones and they're eating them. They are that close to them. And I'm thinking, if I did that with a Blue Yeti, I'd blow the speakers. So I took this circuitous route and instead of looking at tutorials on the Blue Yeti or the Blue Snowball or best audio on a Mac, no, I went right back to the beginning and I did the theory of microphones and all kinds of stuff that felt completely unnecessary. And then all of a sudden, it all kind of clicked together and the audio was brilliant. And Mike was like, what have you done to this? But the second half of it is, you know, you can have everything configured perfectly. But if you don't know how to use it in terms of where you should be sat, how close it should be, what angle it should be at, you're not getting the best out of it. So it took a while. I'm there now, I would say. But Mike's still at the shouting bit. The other thing Mike does is he pushes the microphone, which is on an articulated arm, up and out of the way. Because obviously, unless you've got a shotgun microphone, which is a very narrow, thin thing. Simon's saying, hate to say it, but did you read the manual? Mics all have different polarities. I know, and I did. It didn't make a difference. There's a lot more to it than you would imagine. I've done the polar patterns and stuff. To some degree, it makes a difference. If you're doing a two-hander with a Blue Yeti, there is a position that you can push it to where it will pick up on the front and the back. So many people with a Blue Yeti actually speak to the tip, and that's not the way to use a Blue Yeti. But yep, I did all of that, but there is just so much more to it. And so much you can do with it. So this leads me on to the funny story with Jonathan. We talked about Jonathan and Jonathan's problem with Zoom and getting the audio through. And there is an option in Zoom and you can just send your audio and it's fine and it works. And then I said to Jonathan, but there is another way where you can create this composite device, which you still can. Can I get it working? Can I hack? And I said to Mike, I would, you know, take the extra time and try and make this work. I said, but the thing with Apple is at the moment, there's so much of it that's just, oh, yeah, that's broken. Don't worry about it. And I'm like, what? What do you mean it's broken?
How do I know whether it's something that is fixable and I'm doing something wrong? Which I don't think I am, because I can get it to work with different devices. I just can't get it to work with the two devices I want it to work with. Or whether it's an Apple thing. Because that problem that Mike was talking about the other day, which was somebody was listening to the show. Obviously, their phone was turning off the screen and that turned the audio off, which it shouldn't do. I had experienced that. I put it down to the fact it was Firefox browser I was using. I did then try Safari and I had exactly the same fault. And it was a case of, oh, do you know what? I can't be bothered. I'll just leave the screen on. But that is an Apple fault. They know it's there. It's in a certain version of iOS. Other versions of iOS are absolutely fine and they've not fixed it. If you know something's broken, why don't you just fix it with all the other bugs? Why would you fix other bugs and leave that bug sat there? Until when? Because the devices are useless if you're trying to listen to anything. Because as soon as you put your phone in your pocket, even if you've got the screen on, that's how you butt dial somebody. So you do really need to turn the screen off. But no, you'd have to leave it sat on a table. Right. So you've looked at the Blue Yeti and you probably want to use it. Yep, I have done all of that, Simon. Blue Yeti, absolute nightmare. You can get decent audio out of it, but it really is very difficult. On the back of streaming audio via Zoom, I wanted to stream video via Zoom. Audio was brilliant, video was awful. Aha! The more people joined, the worse it came. Did you put the tick in the box, Jonathan? There is a tick in a box. Let me get Zoom up. I was playing with that today. I had Mike in my personal meeting room saying, can you hear it now? Let's get into my personal meeting room. And that's exactly what I did. I streamed some video from VLC. And isn't it annoying? You can stream the video fabulously easy. But can you stream the audio? No. The video is fantastic. Why aren't you doing anything? Oh, I need to do that. That's why you're not doing anything. How did you share the thing, Jonathan? Did you do a share the screen? Or did you do a share an app? Did you optimise the screen share for the video clip one? Did you do that? You did do the tick. Worked flawlessly for a handful of people, but when you have 80, they need to do something. There are some settings that they need to do, and you have very little control over that, unfortunately. There are probably other ways to be dealing with it, but it's very annoying. It is very annoying. Right. Cardioid use as a proximity effect to get close and personal. Yeah, the thing with the Yeti is it picks up a lot of background noise and it's incredibly difficult to stop it doing that. There are things that you can do, but it's still a black art. It's a very good microphone and it's got a nice warm tone to it. But, and like I say, you can do things with it. The best way to use it is actually hook it up to something else. So if you hook it up to Audio Hijack and go through that, then you get the absolute best out of it. But on its own, into something like, what's it called? Audacity. There's room for improvement. Let's put it like that. Shared the app and then screen shared. Both didn't help. I wonder. How long was it, Jonathan? Wasn't an epic, was it? Hello, Mrs. Simon. Thank you very much. I've had a fabulous day and I have a cake. Ooh, it's a huge cake. Let me get a picture of the cake and I'll share it. I'll put it on Droppler. Let's get the picture of the cake. Where did the picture of the cake go? Honestly, I've got that many apps open here. I have no idea where I've put anything. And I reconfigured all of the audio last night. I'm glad that I did that, but that took longer than it needed to, I can assure you. Where on earth did these get downloaded to? Ah, there they are. Right, which one's which here? Which one's the cake? Ooh, there's the cake. I have the cake. I am sharing the cake right now. Come on, let's get a link. Yay, I think I've got the link. There we go.
That's my gluten-free cake. With some of my cards. That's my funny card from the priest there. And Nina's is the one with the butterflies on. And the other one says birthday princess and it's got a dog on the front. And that was from Kath and Carolyn and Joe. Look at my cake. It's huge. It's absolutely huge. It's got some butter paste stuff in the middle and lots of hundreds and thousands on the top with icing. I'm leaving it alone until Mike's finished in his meeting, though. I'm so good doing that. Video was 5 minutes. Shouldn't have had a problem with something that short, should you? Next time you're going to preload it into YouTube and do it as a premiere. That's probably a better idea. I was going to suggest that you take it out of Zoom and put it somewhere else. Music video we did at work. We wanted to premiere to the company. Ooh, we've got a link. We've got a link for Jonathan. I'm going to get that link, Jonathan. You didn't sing, just the cover art. That's at least enough for two sitting. I'm hoping it'll last longer than that. Is it a lemon drizzle cake? I believe it is. Not started your cake, waited for the eldest to return. That's so good. That is so good. Erwin's not with us tonight either, is he? I've got to wish Erwin a happy birthday. It's Erwin's birthday, same day as mine. So happy birthday to you as well, Mrs. Simon. I trust you're being spoilt rotten. Would last 3 minutes. Well, Lola was interested, but she didn't. She was more interested in people. You ever get that feeling, you know, that your dog's sort of sick of you? This lockdown thing's all right, but oh, new people to play with. And she'd never met them before. I think it's probably about a 10-inch tin, I'd imagine, served on some kind of blue, red lid. I'm not sure if I thought that could have been what it was cooked in, but it's not. It seems some kind of tray affair, so I'll have to save that as well. But I'm going to have some later. That's because I overdid it at lunch. Lola was enjoying the garden. I'm rewilding the garden. That's my excuse. Well, if I just redesignate weeds as flowers, it's fine. Have you noticed weeds are just flowers that grow? And flowers are just like weeds that don't grow. Oh, that's my experience. Yeah, it was the first time they'd met Lola, so they were absolutely thrilled. Let me get that picky and share that picky. So if you're wondering why the grass is so long, it's because we can't be bothered cutting it. We're not going out, neither's the grass. Oh, you enjoy yourself with a nice bottle. I've got water with ice. It's getting muggy warm here. Not happy with that. Whoever came up with rewilding was a genius. Exactly. Mike's rewilding his hair. In fact, I've got a really funny photo of him. I'll send it to you while he's out. He won't know. He won't know a thing. A couple of friends were walking up here on their exercise and they were going to drop a card off for me. So he spots them. Oh, I've already transferred it. That's good. It's somewhere up here. He meets up with them, obviously social distancing, and they hand him the card and he then comes home with the card. They must have then carried on their walk past here. Oh, there's me other cake. There's me other cake. I'll share that one first as well. Right, let's get that one shared. There we go. So they're on their way back home. They're about probably about 3/4 of a mile from home. And they pass as Kath, Joe and Carolyn were here. So we're waving across the road. By this stage, they'd already had a good old laugh at Mike's hair. And he's incredibly sensitive about his hair, bless him. So I said, why don't you just put the mullet on? So at the weekend, he has two wigs. He has a black wig from one Freddie Mercury outfit and another one from a Freddie Mercury outfit. The other one's his ABBA one, the long blonde one from ABBA. So he's been using the long blonde one as like a headbanging wig. And I was thinking the only one that's missing is a mullet, a 1980s mullet. So I went on Amazon and I found this mullet. And I'm thinking, please let them be able to deliver it before the weekend. Anyway, they did. So I presented him with it on Saturday night. And he decided, because they'd had a pop at his hair, he was going to put this mullet on. So I took a picture of him in his mullet. So let me get that one and then I can share that. There it is. There's Mike in his mullet. I think he looks good.
Did the milkman come to collect the bottles? Kim, yes, we have success. The milk bottles are gone. They are a mere memory in our mind, thankfully. I thought Mike was going to explode. He had rung the modern milkman, which is the name of the company, every day since Thursday. So today, they didn't knock or anything, but today he checked in the morning, still there, gets on the phone again. Every day he gets, you know, a lot of apology and not much in the way of anything useful. And now, did I put that cape link in? Let's put that one in. Is that one Mike in it in his mullet? That should be Mike's mullet. Yep, that's Mike's mullet. And let's get the other one. Put the other cake in, I think. But I'm sure I put the other cake in. Let me have a look. Why am I not seeing that? Oh, it's beach balling. It's been doing that a lot. A serious lot. Anyway, he then checked after lunch and the milk bottles had gone. Thankfully, he's stopped ringing people now. Just get over giddy with it. I just say, you know, take a chill pill, Mike. Okay, so there's 4 crates of milk bottles in the front garden, and I'll have to wind it back. Is that Mike's real hair? No, that's his mullet wig. I reckon you get away with it, though. I did say, you know, if you just flatten it a bit at the front and trim it a bit at the back, you would get away with that, wouldn't you? That's his mullet wig. He was headbanging to that on Saturday night. Oh, we've already had requests for Saturday night. That was funny as well. Priest had such a good time. He's putting it in the newsletter every week. So we actually had people from one of our other churches and quite a few from this one. So you should have a full house again on Saturday. What do you think of my other cake? Oh, how spoiled am I? That one was the one that Mike gave to me at lunchtime. So as I say, and not only was there lemon drizzle cake, as you can see. Oh, no, we also had shortbread. Gluten-free shortbread. The gluten-free shortbread was so rich. See, the chocolate's quite dark. I could only eat one. Mike got his way through 2, I think, but I've still got one for later. I got 2 cakes. I did. You see, that's put Simon on the back foot, hasn't it, eh? Just saying, Simon. I trust you got biscuits and cakes and shortbread. Multiple cakes. Poor Simon. Simon's going to have to go out and find another cake now. Yes, he said, do you fancy a cup of tea? I said, yes, please. So he disappeared downstairs and filled that humongous breakfast cup that I have with tea. Came back with the tea and then sang happy birthday and put that down. I'd only had a salad for lunch, so he left it a couple of hours and then produced a cake. He's fabulous, isn't he? And there's Jonathan's card. That's Jonathan's card on the left. The one from the priest is on the right, and the other one in the middle is from my friends. So, yes. Oh, I enjoyed that cake. That was nice. I'm very, very lucky. Ooh, strawberry and cream cake. Excellent. We're going to need photos of that. We can wait till tomorrow, but we're going to need photos. I did get 2 cakes. I don't think Mike knew that Carolyn was making one. And obviously, Carolyn didn't reckon that Mike was getting one. But never mind. We're on lockdown. Don't need to go out. Clothes don't need to fit at all, do they? Just saying. Oh, Jonathan, you're peckish. This is what happens. There's now a national shortage of Angel Delight, you know, butterscotch flavour. We mentioned it and everybody said, I'm going to go out and get some of that. But they're thimble pots, aren't they, Jonathan? They are very much thimble pots. They're not even the size of half a yoghurt. It's criminal, lad. But we have managed on our Morrison's orders to stockpile some of the powder. It's not the original Angel Delight powder because I don't think they make that in powder anymore. They are now taken to making it up and then charging you an absolute fortune for it. But Morrison's do their own brand. So every time I put an order in, I pop 3 of them in the basket. So I'm hoping during our laughable holiday, Kim will keep you apprised of natural disasters, that I will be able to make one. But I'm actually thinking, rather than using milk, maybe trying it with some cream. Might as well be hung for a sheep as a lamb, is my theory. So, yeah, I might do that. You can have 5 cakes a day, can't you? Well, the cake could count as 1 and the shortbread as 2. And the other cake is 3. So you're quite right. I've got capacity. I've got 2 empty slots there to have more content. Actually, it would be 2 of your 5 a day if I put a strawberry on top, wouldn't it? Oh, they swindled Mike as well. The last order that came from Asda, there was only one punnet of strawberries with it. He was on the rampage over that, I can assure you. Because normally with Morrison's, with me, they've only ever missed one item. And it was a 5-litre bottle of water, which they then gave me a refund for. But other than that, when I ordered 1 treat and they sent 3. And you can't send them back because when you get on and say, you know, I only ordered 1. Oh, keep it. They're not taking anything back at the moment. So it's working out nicely in your favour. Yoghurt was the other one, wasn't it? Fat-free vanilla yoghurt. I think Mike ate that. Don't eat fat-free stuff. No, not real stuff. Is that a UK thing, 5 cakes a day? It's actually... good night, Jonathan. Brother calling again. Not going to make marooned. Oh, we'll talk about 127 and giddy you. Have a good time. We'll see you later in the week. The UK 5 cakes a day is actually no. It's 5 portions of fruit or veg a day. And this has been like a national thing for a good few years. And they'll put TV adverts out and say, are you getting your 5 a day? And they mean fresh fruit and vegetables. But people have kind of adjusted it slightly and said, well, wine's made from grapes and grapes are fruit, so it's 1 of my 5 a day. So, yeah, we keep 5 cakes a day. Nothing wrong with that. Well, there's lemon in it and that's a fruit. See what I did there, Simon? Oh, that's good. No, we're not supposed to have 5 cakes a day. No, no. Oh, did you notice what happened today as well? With our figures. The last couple of days, they've been breaking their arm, patting themselves on the back of the government, that there was only 160 deaths yesterday. I see today... Oh, he's listening on a conference call. If you're heading off, Paul, good night. Oh, Mrs. Simon's taking a photo of the cake. Excellent. That's right. That's what you're keeping for. He's your PA, really, isn't he? Has anybody told him that? Oh, my. Yes, today they're not breaking their arm, patting themselves on the back. They are trying to bamboozle us with slides and the stats that are just mind blowing. The slides they've been using for 6-7 weeks were perfectly comprehensible. And since Boris did that sit down chat of like, can you all get back to work? We can't afford to keep you at home. The graphs have just gone absolutely chaotic. You can't compare one thing with another. But today I did spot a slide and the deaths have gone up to something like 550 since yesterday. Thought, well, you're not patting yourself on the back now, are you? cake. Excellent. I have it. Let me have a look. Ooh, it's going to Dropbox. Oh, that looks amazing. I am loving that. Oh, nice. Nice. I think I might put some strawberries on top of mine as well. I am definitely loving that. I hope you enjoy it. I guess you could give Simon a tiny, tiny piece, couldn't you? Just a tiny piece. Otherwise, it's all for you. Where's my chat gone? Yeah, it's flown off the screen. There we go. Only 1 death yesterday and less than 150 new cases. Ooh, that's sounding like an improvement that we could only have dreamt of just a couple of weeks ago. Our figures for infections, new infections, and this is obviously countrywide, are still in the 3,000s. So it's funny that they're saying, you know, out you go, off you go. Go get the children back to school, go to work. And everyone's sitting there going, not yet, not yet. They will go out. They'll go out sort of to beaches and stuff, but people aren't very keen on getting the children back to school. So I think the infection rate is still a bit high, and I'd also like to see what happens when the effects of Boris's chit-chat from 10 days ago now, 9 days ago. They think that would take at least 2 weeks to ripple through to the figures. But now I'm thinking, I honestly don't know what to think about with the figures. How can you trust them? Your youngest, who's 15, loves baking. Going to need helicoptering out of the house after the lockdown. Yeah, I'm a bit that way myself, as is Mike. Hey, if they love baking, that's fantastic. I was turned off all things domestic at school. I went for my high school, which we go to from 11 to 16. My first one was in a completely different area. It was in North Cheshire, in a place called Lym. And they literally just changed the entire syllabus, and everything was incredibly practical. So our French language was all talking for 12 months. So I could speak it absolutely fine, but writing it, we'd not done much in the way of writing it. The other thing we did was we had, what did they call it? I don't think it was like a block on the syllabus. And throughout the year, there were 6 areas that you had to do. So I guess it's something like humanities, but it was basically 3 of them were the girl things and 3 of them were the boy things. But everybody had to do everything, which was really progressive at the time. It was 1978. So that's fairly progressive. It was woodwork, metalwork and technical drawing. And I adored all 3 of them. Absolutely loved them. And then we had home economics, cookery and sewing. Didn't quite like those quite so much. I mean, they started off, seriously, we were 11, not 3. They started off with making a cup of tea and boiling an egg. And I remember thinking, like, have I gone back to kindergarten here? But the biggest thing that turned me off, again, just an organisation thing. I hope these days this would be thought through properly. It was very, very, very rural. My trip to school was about 5 miles. And my mum didn't drive and my dad went to work at 5 o'clock in the morning. So he couldn't drop me off. So they got me a push bike. That's a pedal bike, Kim, remember? And I headed off on my bike. And a lot of people did that. And if they didn't do that, apart from the ones who had, you know, either mummy or daddy to drop them off, they would walk. And they'd have to walk as far as I was going, 5 miles, or they'd get a bus from the top of the road. But to get to the top of the road was 2 miles. So that's where we were at. You would think they would take that into account. You're wondering why, aren't you? Well, if you think about it being the day, it's cookery day, and you've got to take with you the casserole bowl and all of the vegetables and everything else that you needed. Your bike was pretty full. If you were walking, you had to carry it in a ye old basket, like an egg basket. And if you're on the bus, you know, well, there's a limit to how many people can get on a bus with a huge basket, isn't there? But we managed that. It was when they threw in, so that there was 5 days in the week, obviously. Monday was the day we did this cookery thing. But instead of leaving it at that, oh, no. They then decided Monday was the day everybody would do their sports session. Okay, that means I need to take my gym kit with me, as well as all the stuff for the cookery session. And then they stuck on a triple art session, for which I needed to take my art folder, which was about 3 foot by 2 foot. So picture this, Monday morning, leaving home. School bag on the front, cookery basket on the back, art folder under one arm, hockey stick positioned. I actually had a clip for my hockey stick to go on my bike. And under the other arm was my games kit. This day and age, you'd be arrested. I don't know how I actually made it to school and back. It was criminal. It was absolutely criminal. And put me off all of those completely. Simon's been looking at a map. Are you plotting some kind of escape, Simon? Is this something we don't know about? I was always very confused with the time zones as to what. Now, Tracy sorted me out with this. We're the same time zone as Portugal, is it? And I expected them to be the same as France. Time zones are spawn of the devil as well. Now I've got Nina on that I didn't come out for Nina. Yep, Nina, you came at silly o'clock. Oh my, oh my. I've still got the picture on the screen of this cake and I'm loving that. Ooh. Oh, anyway, Friday, after hours, I'm sending a mail out sooner or later about the session on Thursday night. Who's joining me on Thursday night? I am doing, if you missed it, working with Colour in Affinity Publisher on Thursday night at 8:30. That's the 21st at 8:30. And then on Friday, I'm taking requests for after hours. So if you think of anything. Oh, I love the weather in Scotland. But Kim, we've got a problem here. It's getting warm. Wouldn't be like this in Scotland. It'd be fabulous. I'd love to go on holiday to Scotland. Yeah, it's typical, isn't it? I don't go on holiday for years. Then I think I want to go on holidays to Scotland. But I wouldn't, obviously, at the moment. You're not allowed. You're not allowed in. Having said that, let me see this thing in here. See if I can find this story from the other day. How do I pronounce that? Oh, I've missed an A out. That won't help, will it? Yeah, just have a look at this one. I would have thought better for COVID. It's this one takes the biscuit, I think, this one. This is author Neil Gaiman, who's made a trip. I think they think this is possibly the longest COVID trip so far. He travelled from New Zealand to self-isolate on the Isle of Skye in Scotland. This is after he'd been in lockdown with his family. So he's left his wife and his kids and he's gone up to Scotland to self-isolate. Scotland are up in arms. Up in arms. Ooh, let me have a look where that is. I've not been there. I went to Loch Ness and Loch Lomond when I was a child. But that I was so young. I really can't remember it too well. Then we went up to Edinburgh. We had a ball in Edinburgh. That's further north than us. We went to Edinburgh, but we went out via Queen's Ferry. And I think basically where we were was probably around. I'm trying to think. Oh, is it on this map? Were we at Cross Gates or Hill End? It was on the north side of Edinburgh. But we loved it so much, we started looking for houses. We did. The internet was shocking, so we never did it. The other time we went was when we picked Maya up. And Maya came from about 20 miles south of Glasgow. So he would have been in Stonehouse, where he came from. But we had to go through. We were very naughty. We went up the M6, which took us up to Carlisle on the border. Just across the Scottish border is Gretna Green, renowned for eloped marriages. So we had our photo taken in Gretna Green. We sent it to all our friends to wind them up. We didn't do the marriage thing, you know, but we thought about it. It wasn't anything like I thought it was going to be honest. I quite fancy something a little bit more picturesque. But we would have been, this weekend just gone, we would have been in Aberdeen and then we would have gone past literally where you were, Tracy. We would have gone right past it. But we didn't make it to Aberdeen. Aberdeen was the Catinians conference this year. From the sublime to the ridiculous, it's in Eastbourne next year, which is totally the other end of the country. It was supposed to be next year in Manchester, which would have been fantastic. But somebody forgot to book the venue. Don't ask. Which is unfortunate because a couple of years ago it was in Telford, which is about 50, 60 miles away. Last year it was in Liverpool, which we didn't even really need a hotel, but we did. That's probably about 45 miles away. So we were doing the Scotland thing, or we were thinking about it. Unfortunately, we decided not to go anyway. If we'd have gone, one of us would have had to have stayed with Lola because the conference hotel wasn't where the actual, well, the hotel they had booked you in wasn't actually where the event was taking place. But we could still have gone. We could have got a dog-friendly hotel and one of us stayed with Lola, but we decided, no, it's too far anyway. But If we hadn't have had Lola, we'd have probably gone to Aberdeen. But for the fact we're in lockdown, anyway. But there you go. We may. It would have been nice to drive up there because some people said they'd fly. Others said they'd go on a coach. I am not going on a coach up to Aberdeen. No way. I wouldn't even go on a coach the 12 miles from Liverpool to Aintree. So there's no way I would be going to Aberdeen. But I said it would be nice to take sort of 10 days and go slowly and keep stopping at places. That would be really nice. Oh, Tracy, no, I meant Kim. I meant Kim. I'm getting confused. I meant Kim. Oh, Deb, that's amazing. Oh, congratulations. We have been so worried. Another prayer answered. Another prayer answered. Talking of which, I asked Mike to put a link in here. Let me see if I can find it. Where did you put it, Mike? Where did you put it? No, not that one. Nor that one. Oh, let's go for this one. See if I can find it. This is a link from our local paper. Today from our local paper. I think it's the headline story. Where have you put it, Mike? Honestly, I told him to put it in here. I have no idea where he's put it, so I'll go and find it. Hopefully Jonathan's seen this as well. Where is it? There it is. He's moved down, but it's there. For weeks and weeks and weeks, we've been talking about our friend, Dono. And this is him leaving hospital. Do you know he's lost so much weight? He really has. But he left and he's gone back home today. So there's a video the other day. Actually, there's a picture of him as he used to be. So you can see how much weight he's lost. So that's the story that's in our major local paper today. He's out. And he got a standing ovation as he left and a standing ovation when he got back home as well, which is fantastic. Deb, I could not be more happy for you. That is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Braemar, Balmoral, Aberdeen and Edinburgh. Edinburgh's lovely. I do like Edinburgh. I mean, yeah, I haven't read all those. Is it Rebus in Edinburgh? I haven't read all the novels. I've seen the TV programmes, so I've seen quite a few of the locations. It's not the prettiest city in terms of its colour. Well, it's... I find it nice to look at, but not in a kind of cutesy way. But I just loved it. I really loved it there. We were on the north side and everybody said, oh, be careful when you go to Scotland because they don't like the English. And I thought, well, I'm not pretending to put a Scottish accent because nobody wants to hear that. Trust me, not good with accents. Mike's great, I'm not. But I did go into some of the shops and got talking to people and they couldn't have been nicer. So whereas I was being told, you know, don't say anything, pretend to be Scottish. No, they were lovely. And that I really loved it. Dinner's turned up. Thank you, Mrs. Simon. You have a fantastic night and enjoy that cake. I shall look forward to hearing how brilliant that cake was. Oh, Tracy's done most of the Highlands. I must admit, I haven't. I'd love to. It was somewhere that we really liked. I have actually done the, what's that thing called? The Airbnb thing, where you actually look at houses rather than, well, person. What we're looking for is like a house that somebody's renting out with a secluded garden so we could let Lola run around. I'd love to do that, but hotels leave me a bit cold, to be honest. Night night, Simon. But I would love to do that with your dental if she had red hair. They just assumed. No, I found them really nice. I went into the post office and it was back in the day when you had to post stuff off, and I was posting off my VAT return and I needed a certificate to say that I'd sent it. In case it didn't turn up, I would get fined and then I would have to sue the post office. All convoluted. But I went in and obviously I needed to ask them about this certificate thing and they couldn't have been nicer. It was lovely. I guess there are places where it's, you know, not quite so nice, but this was lovely. So I could definitely live in Edinburgh. I've only passed through Glasgow I know certain areas of Glasgow and they're like no-go zones, but there's other aspects of Glasgow that's really nice. I think I would prefer it a little bit further out into the country, like where Mayor came from. Mayor was sort of 20 miles out of the city centre and it was like farms. So the lady that was his, we called her his kennel mum, but she was the breeder, and it was like a farmhouse, but it wasn't a farm. So it had lots of ground around it and the dogs used to just run through these fields, and it was lovely. I could definitely live somewhere like that. Now, St Andrews, I've never been to, Kim. This is going to sound so sad. But now, what were those books? I can't remember the author. There was an author, and I'm very much into Scottish, like Scandi noir, but Scottish noir. Thriller writers. And there is a thriller writer who bases all of his books in St Andrews. And he was actually giving you in this first book, it wasn't James Patterson, definitely not. It wasn't Travis McKinley either. No, that's not the one. Nor Marion Todd. Oh, I'll have to find this author. But they're all set in St Andrews. And he gave you such an amazing journey around St Andrews. And he was talking about bodies on the beach and at this end. And then they walked that way. And there was, I went on Google Maps and there I am doing the, you know, when you drop Pegman and you then move around. And I did the entire city. I know it like the back of my hand. And I read all of the books. And I wish I could remember which the author was. Oh, I'm going to have to find that now. Oh, surely somebody's got one in there. I'd know the name if I saw it, but apparently James Patterson has written. Well, no, he hasn't, has he? He works with other people. They do the writing. He lends his name to it. Called Miracle at St Andrews. So obviously that's coming up first, last and always here. But it was a whole series of books that he'd done, and they were very, very good. But I then love St Andrews, and I said to Mike, I really fancy going, but we've never actually been. But if we're going anywhere, I think we go to Scotland because it's much cooler and we like that. Oh, I'm gonna have to find that. I want to listen to it again now. I had it on audiobook, and I put it on when I'm working, doing mindless stuff like planning the next 47 Mac Bites. Don't tell Jonathan. We actually have, I'm going to whisper this, we actually have Mac Bites planned up to Christmas. Now, we've tried this before, it doesn't end well. But at the moment, we're bang up to date. We won't be again by next week, but hey, we do like to try. Who's heard the whole of Mac Bites? Did you listen last night? Let me know what you thought. Let's have a look. As a Presbyterian, it was like coming home to the motherland. They are just beautiful churches up there as well. Well, I went in some of those while we were there. Again, they were so welcoming. It was lovely. I just adore Scotland. And there's nothing wrong with a Scottish accent either. I can certainly listen to a Scottish accent all day. Although I have heard those that are completely impenetrable. I have to concentrate so much. It's unbelievable. But the majority of them I'm okay with. Of course, many years ago, Mike struggled with Alex Ferguson's accent. Alex had probably been at United about 4 or 5 years by then. I could understand him perfectly. But Mike brought his cousin to a football match, and it was before we were going out. It was the autumn of 1991. And his friend, his cousin, was from America. So he was having an absolute blast going to City, going to United. Mike was taking him to the rugby, you name it. He was going all over the place and he was really loving it. So he let his cousin sit nearer me than he did because he wanted him near the management, and I sat next to Alex Ferguson. Anyway, Mike was, as it turns out afterwards, trying to chat me up, apparently, trying to get a conversation going, shall we say. And he said, "Are you the Scottish interpreter?" Because he couldn't understand a word he said. But he can now. He can now. I'm happy to report he can now. Oh, I wish I could find this author. I'm going to have to find that now. It was a whole series of thriller books, and this was the first one that he'd done. But he described St Andrews so perfectly. It was then on my bucket list of places I needed to go. Of course, it's quite away from us. And now, of course, we have the lovely Lola. But I think she'd love it up there. And it'd be nice to go back and go past where we picked Mayer up from. But before I can do that, I need to find who the author was. That's tricky. How on earth do you look for a book when you know where the murder was committed, but you can't remember the title of the book or the author? Bit tricky. I shall work on that one. I shall definitely work on that one. Oh, good. Kim really enjoyed 126. We actually had another section. And as we were recording it, we're like, this is going long. So Jonathan's luck might be in sooner rather than later, because we've got this big chunk that's already been... we've kicked around and we know exactly what our thoughts are on it for 127. But we mustn't get Jonathan overexcited. Not until it's literally coming out of the door. Because 126 was ready for quite a while. We just did not have enough of a chunk of time to be able to record it. And if we had enough of a time to record it, then it was like, yeah, but I've got 5 sessions and I can't publish it. And if we leave it in the can and then we say, well, we'll publish it 3 days later, something is bound to happen that renders every single word we've said completely out of date. That has happened before. So we like to do it where we've got enough time to sit and record it, and then I just immediately sit and edit it. But yes, we need to get working on 127. I will find that author because now I want to listen to it. Who was it? There's another one as well that's also based in Scotland. So as I say, I listen to quite a few or read quite a few that are based in Scotland. But this one in particular was St Andrews. And in that, it was quite unusual because most of them tend to be Glasgow or Edinburgh. And I had never been to this place, but it also mentioned the university. And I knew where St Andrews itself was because obviously Prince William went there, and it was all over the news when he was up there of, you know, he's gone up to university, this is where it is. So I knew of St Andrews approximately. So it's basically north of Edinburgh, but south of Dundee, but never actually ventured that far. And, you know, I really wish we had. Because when we stayed there for this week, Mike was doing work and I was revising for some Microsoft exams. So I was in the hotel room all day while he was at work, and I was working my way through these massive binders of instruction for the Microsoft exams. Every evening we went out. The hotel we were at was one of these, like, I don't think you even got breakfast. I'm wondering if we didn't, what did I eat? Maybe we did get breakfast, but there was certainly no dinner included. So you got to go out, and we went up towards Dunfermline and had a dinner every evening at this Chinese. And about four out of 5 nights, we were the only one there. I don't know how it paid for them to open, but they made the most amazing food. But looking at the map, it was so close to St Andrews. I wish I'd gone to see the place now, but we didn't. We never did. But we love Dunfermline so much, we might have to go on a revisit. And I'm sure Lola would love to stay up there. And I think we probably would, if we were going, do the Airbnb thing rather than a hotel. Some hotels will let you have a dog in there, but I think it'd be nicer to have, like, your own space. That's just me. Muir. Muir's ringing a bell. Muir rings a bell, Tracy. Let me have a look. Was that the one? T.F. Muir. Bang on. Excellent. You've reminded me now. Was that the one? Let me have a look. That was definitely one of them. Is he the one? Are they based in the same place? Or is that the one? Ooh, I've nearly got another name coming to me now. Muir could well be one series. Let's have a look. Is that... T.F. Muir. There's only 2 books there. What? Surely Andy Gilchrist, that rings a bell. Yep, that's the one. It must have been Dead Still. Let's have a look. Nope, that's not the book. Why are there only 2 books? Surely he's written more. I thought he'd done a whole series. In which case, which one's which? I can't remember. Let me have a look at my Audible thing. If I look it up in there, I'll know which ones I've got. And knowing me, I've probably got the lot. Wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, there's 8 books. That's the one. Yes, that's the person. But what's bizarre is, and I've got them all up until book 9. So there is a whole series of them. It starts off with an eye for an eye. That's right. The eyes were missing. But it was a good book.
Excellent. Excellent catch there, Tracy. That's the one. That was the one. I've read the first four, I think. I've got 5, 6, 7, and 8 to go. So I've read half of them. But yeah, that was the one. And I just loved the way he described it. But what's strange is when I go to Amazon, there's only 2 books by him. So where's the other one? How bizarre. There should be 9. Where on earth are they? Ah, there's one. And yes, I've got that version too. How bizarre. Right, I'll put a link in for the first book. This is the Eye for an Eye. That was the first one. The entire series is actually available from there. But if you search Amazon for Muir, it's not. I think it could be having a moment. A rare old moment, like my software, my DJ software, when I searched for Perfect and it had vanished from under me. I think it must be that. There's a Christmas one in there I've not read as well. Still got the tree up, just saying. Yes, they are very worth having a look at. Looks like he wrote one last year. I think he did. That's the one I've not got. I have everything up to 9. Oh, no, that's this one. Released the 6th of February this year, called Dead Still. But I love the audiobooks because David Monteith narrates them. And he's got the most wonderful voice. And in my head, when I read the book, it's his voice I hear in my head. So, yeah, I think I've read the first 4. I've read the first one twice, I think. I just loved all of the descriptions and stuff. But, yeah, I could recommend that one. I haven't read the last 4, but I recommend that. The last one, there was one he released on the 7th of February. In fact, it's interesting looking back. Because book 7 came out the 8th of, oh no, that's June. The last book 8 came out on the 7th of February, 2019. And book 9 came out on the 6th of February, 2020. So it looks like he tries to get one out every year. But yeah, have a look at it. Have a look at that one. I think that was very good. And if you've been to St. Andrews, you'll know your way around. He was talking about 2 roads that were parallel to each other. One was like higher than the other. And we have an area locally that has that. Literally, if you were to look at it from above, it looks like 2 parallel lines. But when you're there, you need to go down steps to get to the lower one. And he described that absolutely perfectly, which was why I was then on Google meandering around the place. And he said he'd been into probably John Menzies for a book. And there was this John Menzies on the map. Like a saddo, like I say. Very well done, Tracy. Excellent catch. Could not remember the name of the author. At least I knew it. At least I knew it was there. Right. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed 126. We'll get working on 127. Mike's in his meeting at the moment, so might be able to get a bit of cake before he comes out. Just saying, Mike. But other than that, we will be with you tomorrow. Same time, same place. And probably, given how much cake's there, there'll be more cake to share with you. But thank you for being with us. Lovely, lovely, lovely to have you with us. How are we doing on lockdown? Pretty much we're staying where we are. I presume you are staying where you are, at least for the foreseeable. So definitely tomorrow. And then, good grief, it's Wednesday tomorrow. Then on Thursday, 2-show Thursday, 2-show Friday, and 2-show Saturday. It's going to be busy later in the week, isn't it? So I better go and get on. I've got a poster to do before I can create the event on YouTube, and I need the poster before I can send the email. And if I don't send an email, no one's going to be there and I'll be sat there on my own. So that's what I need to do tonight. But thank you very, very much for being with me and Mike, wherever he is. We will see you very soon. But for the moment, it's good night from me. It's good night from Mike. And we'll both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.